and welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Eastern Conference play-in post-game show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Mo Dakil. Just like we were last night, we're going to break down a couple of exciting games, or at least, you know, one exciting game, and a game that had some exciting moments. The Sixers put away the Miami Heat and send them to a Friday matchup against the Bulls, who put away the Hawks for the year. Mo, the Sixers and Heat were a thrilling game, right down to the wire, and I would argue it was a little bit of a tale of two different games. One when Jimmy Butler was okay, and then one after Jimmy Butler got injured.
I disagree a little bit with that. I know what you're saying, because Jimmy was really kind of just hampered by that injury. Not initially. I think as it went on, you started to feel it more and more. But I think initially he kind of was rolling with that, because this was a tale of two halves for this game. And I think it was fascinating. But this day, like, I mean, I know the Jimmy thing's big news, but Dave, I mean, you buried the lead. This is the Chick-fil-A game for the Philadelphia 76ers. Like, everything changed once the fans won Chick-fil-A. That's all true. It was. Everything, the whole momentum changed in the building once the fans won Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, the Sixers were trailing early in this game. They trailed at halftime. Things didn't look good. And then a couple of missed free throws, and the fans get Chick-fil-A. And the fans had been booing the Sixers, and it started early, Mo. This was the thing. The vibes were just awful in the arena for the Sixers. They couldn't get anything going. Joel Embiid obviously had been, you know, injured and barely played since he came back. Re-injured his knee the other day. Did not look great early. Didn't really look very effective until super late in this game.
I mean, not even that. Like, he looked way out of sorts in the first half. But so did the entire team, right? Like, when you look at the number of turnovers they had, was massive, and it led to a lot of fast break buckets for the Heat, a lot of easy buckets for an offense that's relatively challenged for the most part in Miami. And I think it was really interesting. The Heat zone in the first half completely flummoxed the Sixers, to the point where it was just like, even routine plays, simple passes, they couldn't complete. Like, it was such a problem for them. The way when you were watching this, like, my reaction to all of this was just like, man, like, they knew Miami was going to put out a zone, and it just, they were just completely, I don't want to say unprepared, just completely just not ready to play at that level. And Miami brought a ton of energy into the way they played the zone, created a ton of turnovers, a ton of steals. Jimmy, I think, finished with like 5 or 6 steals in the game. I think, you know, a lot of that in the first half, like, that was the impressive part for Miami. And that's really kind of what allowed them to build the lead and create the discontent within the Sixers fan base, which, again, Philadelphia, I mean, four minutes in that game, there's a possibility of booing. So,
yeah, it didn't take much. Mo, you and I, we talk a lot during these games, especially when we're going to record after. And I asked you, I was like, you know, why will these guys not just go set a screen? You can still set ball screens against the zone. I do not understand. You know, they were cutting through the lane. They were miscommunicating because no one was like flashing middle or anything. I mean, it was just, there wasn't much happening. They were passing the ball around the perimeter. And to their credit, the Miami Heat were actually taking advantage of how lazy and lackadaisical the Sixers were playing on the perimeter. I mean, all those steals that led into leakouts. And the thing that really befuddles me is that to start the third quarter, the Miami Heat come out and man, Mo, like, can you come up with a rationale for this?
I have no, I mean, I guess the one thing I would say is maybe they were afraid that, like, okay, they had a chance at halftime to look at the zone and attack it maybe a little bit differently. But let's see it. Let's see them do that. Like, you had them kind of completely flummoxed in all of this. Now, the one thing I'll say about that too, though, was it wasn't like the Sixers came out of the third quarter gangbusters, right? And all of a sudden were killing them. It was just, hey, like, it just, you knew what was working for Miami, and it was weird for me for them to go away from the zone at the, you know, the start of the third quarter. Like, I would have just stayed in it until they took me out of it.
Well, and this is where Jimmy Butler's knee injury, I think, really loomed large over this game. The Miami Heat offense fell apart at the same time that the Sixers were just chipping away. And then the chicken run happens. And all of a sudden, we got a basketball game. And, you know, Tyler Hero started out this game rough. And, you know, we were talking back and forth about him. And I said, Mo, I don't know if they can keep playing him. I mean, he was, I think, at that point, like 1 for 9 or something. And the playmaking hadn't ticked up. Well, he hit a couple of shots when they had nothing else going. The playmaking picked up. He finishes the game with 9 assists. And they're not in this toward the end of the game without Tyler Hero, which is amazing to say, considering how big the lead was early on.
Especially because he was a target defensively. Like, that was a guy they kind of kept going at over and over again. But I want to go back to the chicken run. I'm sorry, Dave. I can't just, like, we had Boban, you know, at the end of the season. I mean, this chicken free throw prize here is kind of really catching on these days. But it was like a 10-2 run, and all of a sudden, Nick Batum became the hottest shooter on the floor. Like, he straight up just caught fire. But the Sixers did a great job of moving the ball, getting quick decisions out of those things. There was one play where it hits Embiid in the high post. He kicks it to Buddy Hield. Buddy pulls two guys, and it's immediate swing to Batum. Batum cashes in. You know, there's just a whole bunch of different plays that kind of led to it. But Batum kept getting open looks out of it, and he was drilling it. But it also just wasn't him. Embiid started to play better. Kyle Lowry, all game long, did a bunch of the little things for this team, and I think he was huge for the Sixers in that stuff. Maxey, I think, still a relatively quiet game, even during the run. But I still think, just in general, they were rolling and had a good vibe. You know, Buddy Hield had a good energy and everything going with it. Had a couple of kickouts to Batum for knockdown shots. Like, everything that went with this team, like, this was it all started there. And to be honest, I'm just going to credit the fans. You went from booing to cheering all of a sudden to having Chick-fil-A. And then that led to the run. And I think that, I honestly think them cheering led to the energy shift.
People like free stuff, but now don't just go giving out chicken, though. It has to happen organically. It has to be a real thing. You can't just say, hey, everybody, here's free chicken, because now you're going to have to give them something else. It's never going to work. Kyle Lowry, actually, he was the smartest player for the Sixers and the most engaged early on. And I think his early offense, and it wasn't much, right? Like, 7 points in the game. But pushing the pace and trying to get them into transition when that zone actually had stifled their offense, they could not make a post entry pass to Embiid. And a lot of it was Miami was playing the ball great. They were sending two to the ball on the pass with Embiid, but also Embiid's lack of mobility. He just did not look good in this game. I mean, you know, you and I, we start thinking out loud with each other. If they lose this game, what's he going to look like with short, you know, relatively short rest, considering the weight of the game that they would have on Friday? And, you know, now they win this game, so now he gets a little bit of time to rest. And frankly, I think he needs it. He did not look good physically.
It's hard because he needs it, but he also needs the conditioning. I'm not saying they should have lost this game and played a thing to get Embiid conditioned, but I'm just saying, I think that was the bigger issue, even more so, was just his conditioning, because you would see him a bunch of times, hands on his knees, tired and gassed. And it's hard when you have a leg injury, you can't keep your conditioning up. And he came and only got, you know, what was it, 5 or 6 games towards the end of the season? Like, that's not enough of a time for him to get enough reps into it, to get the legs under him and get that conditioning stuff and get the stamina he needs. And I think that's just the thing that's got to worry you a little bit with Philly in that regard. I mean, we have to be a little bit worried about his injury in general, but I think you also are hoping to find ways to kind of get that stamina up, because, man, Dave, they got a dogfight coming in. They're going to go in against the Knicks, and this is going to be a rock fight of a game. Like, this is, you know, I mean, good Lord.
Yeah. Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson as the two bigs over there. I mean, that's just so much work. And then, not to mention the way that the Knicks hit the offensive glass. Kelly Oubre was very good in this game against the Heat. I think that Kelly Oubre is going to be a big piece in this upcoming series, and not just, you know, giving them 10, 15 points. I mean, like, they're going to need his energy, which his physicality on defense, it was a game changer for Philly in this game.
It was a game changer. It was just I just think defensively, everything that came with it was awesome. Like, I just thought, like, they really kind of made this whole run and got going in general. And it was just an impressive performance. But we also got to talk about the play that he made, the and one, which really kind of put them in the position to win this game down the stretch. Because that was a possession where it really did look like, oh, crap, the Sixers are going to get a terrible shot out of here. The Miami Heat were in zone. They had two on the ball and Embiid at the elbow. It looked like this possession was going absolutely nowhere. He ducks in from the baseline and boxes out Jimmy Butler, and Embiid whips a great pass to him, and it's a big and one for them. That was a huge play for the Sixers right there, and I think that's the play that really won them this game.
Yeah, and we got to, again, swing back to the Jimmy Butler injury, because the Heat have another game on Friday, so a little bit of news from Shams Charania, of course, from The Athletic. It appears as if Jimmy Butler has suffered an MCL injury. And so his status, I guess, is uncertain. They're going to do an MRI sometime on Thursday. And of course, tampering will be recording in like roughly 12 hours. So if there is an update, maybe you're just getting to this and you've already heard it. If there's an update, I'm positive that we will update it on tampering. So big question mark there for Miami, because Friday is win or go home. I mean, I think that this is one of these things where we all expect Miami to just flip a switch this time of year. And at first it looked like they had done it. And then of course they have a little bit of bad fortune. And as it happens, right? Like we talked about it last night on Nerder, luck, hugely important.
I mean, luck's important with that stuff and every team needs it. Which you go for it. But like, I think there's a couple of things here that's important along the way. And one, it just absolutely sucks to see Jimmy go down, because he looked poised to really kind of go off in this game. And it's disappointing, but it's injuries are going to be the thing that happens and kills everybody. You know, this is I think the Heat are the fifth most injured team this season. Like they've lost the fifth most of players to injuries this year. But I also think, and this might get people a little bit upset, but this is also why the regular season matters. And you can't kind of take it for granted in that sense and put yourself in a position so you're not fighting for your playoff lives over, you know, the next two games and things like that. So this is a big one here. This is a big blow for Miami in terms of not having him. And now they're going to need Hero to have to be absolutely awesome. They're going to need Bam to be absolutely amazing. Hawkes, you know, hopefully they get Duncan Robinson back. I don't know if they will. I don't know if they'll have Terry Rozier back for that, but they're going to need everybody to be rolling on all cylinders, because to not have Jimmy is such a big blow for them. And I'm operating under the assumption he's not going to play, because I think that's too tough to overcome right there.
Yeah. I mean, again, the way he looked in that game, no, I mean, gutty performance, but I mean, he was pretty much ineffective, although he still got a couple steals after the knee thing. So, I mean, just a tough player. So, moving on, there was another game, although Coby White did his best to make it not a game. 131-116, the Bulls move on. They're going to head down to Miami to play the Miami Heat for the right to face the Boston Celtics, which does not seem like a fun time. Coby White had the game of his career, 42 points, 9 of 10 from the line, 3 of 7 from 3, 15 of 21 from the field, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, a couple of steals. And Mo, we would both argue this win was a team effort.
Not even that. First off, also, no turnovers, which was huge. And the Bulls in general, only 7 turnovers in this game. Very impressive with that. It was a team effort, because you look at the way this thing went, you also had DeMar DeRozan absolutely killing. You had Ayo Dosunmu going completely nuts. You had everybody was rolling. Vucevic adding 24 points. Like, I think just in general, the only starter to not have double figures was Alex Caruso. And that's mostly because Andre Drummond ran him over. And now he actually has a significant foot injury. And Dave, he might not be available on Friday. Like, this is a weird scenario to kind of be in. But I think just in general, the way the Bulls played, and like to just kind of fly through the way this game went. Bulls build a big lead in the first quarter. Hawks come roaring back. DeJounte Murray doing his very best to kind of keep the Hawks into it. And then, I mean, just like in the third quarter, when it looks like it's going to be a 2-point game and it's going to go off, Coby White just takes over.
It was honestly, it was incredible. The shot diet from him, I mean, it was just, it was a little bit of everything. He was getting to the basket. He was hitting the mid-range. I mean, a heat check three from 30 feet out. He was doing it every single way. DeMar DeRozan had an excellent game as well. 9 assists for him, 22 points. These guys play really, really well together. And it's a trend that we saw. Remember when Zach LaVine missed a big stretch of games? And we saw this team kind of turn it around. And then he came back and it did not look great. The vibes with this team has just been pretty good. We gave them credit for playing hard, even though they didn't have anything to play for last week. Played hard all season, outperformed expectations in close games. Are the Bulls, are they a good, bad team? Or are they a bad, good team? I think that maybe they're
they're a good, bad team. They're not a good, they're not a bad, good team. I'm sorry, guys. Like, let's just be honest of where they are in the position that they're in. They were the ninth seed going into this. You know, they needed two games. They're going to need a second. They're going to need a win on Friday to make the playoffs. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where, like, they've overperformed in clutch situations. And you brought that up, Dave. And I think that's the more important thing. I don't know how much you can rely on that in a long-term situation with all that. But I love the pieces and I love the growth we've seen from Coby White this season. Like, this is the shining star of the season for the Bulls that they should just be super hyped up about.
Yeah, and again, you mentioned the Caruso injury. The run that Atlanta went on, it kind of coincided with him leaving the game. But the Bulls' defense was pretty good in this game. Part of that, Atlanta just, they didn't look like they were connected, but I think that the Bulls' defense actually did a really good job. Andre Drummond had a really nice game, especially, you know, protecting the rim. For the Hawks, man, you know, this team has kind of been this team for a minute, and it's not been the greatest experience. DeJounte Murray had a really good game. Trae Young was not good in this game.
Oh, it was a weird game for him. I think, you know, part of it with the thumb injury and kind of coming back so late again, we're seeing this kind of be a trend throughout kind of all of these games. You know, Brandon Ingram coming in late, Karl Anthony Towns coming in late in the season, and now you have Trae Young kind of coming in late, and Joel Embiid, and now Trae Young kind of coming in late in the season and trying to find his flow and his rhythm and things like that. Like, we're seeing that kind of be a trend. We even saw him take the cast off in the second half, and it didn't really help. But I also wonder, and this is just reckless speculation, so excuse me on this one, but I also wonder if, like, all the rumors have kind of gotten to him, and this was sort of the last game that we're going to see Trae Young in a Hawks jersey. You know, for him to have only taken 12 shots, you know, for Clint Capella to have more shots than him, for DeAndre Hunter to have more shots than him, Bogdanovich and Murray, like, this is one of those things where it's like, that's not Trae Young. Like, I'm not his biggest fan, but he does need to get a lot more shots up. And I think he was kind of passive a little bit and might be in the injury, might be the idea of after this game, I might be looking for a new place to live.
I mean, it feels like the Hawks are due for a shakeup as it stands. And we heard the rumors. I think a lot of us thought DeJounte Murray was going to get traded at this year's trade deadline. So this team could look completely different. I mean, Bogdanovich is a piece that would fit in a lot of interesting places. So it's not like they don't have moves to make, but those questions are for the summer. Man, are you excited for Bulls Heat?
I am. This is going to be interesting. Like, this is going to be a fun little battle to see how this kind of plays out, you know, for who has the right to face Boston. And then, you know, let's just also not forget New Orleans, Sacramento. Like, I think we're going to have some fun games here on Friday. I know they're not major headlining teams for everybody, but I think we're going to get some good basketball out of it. This was a fun night. I mean, that Sixers game was a ton of fun for me.
Yeah, it was. I mean, again, the single elimination basketball is the best. Just gut reaction.
Chick-fil-A game. That's how it's going to go down in memory for me. We had the confetti game in Philly a few years ago, and now we have the Chick-fil-A game.
All right, gut reaction. Can the Heat score with the Bulls?
No.
And can the Pels do anything without Zion?
They can. I don't know if they will, but they can. I'm not going to really kind of rule them out, but I think it's Zach.
Yeah, if Brandon Ingram was healthy, I think I'd give him much more of a chance. But they play the games on Friday, so we can't wait to see that. Thank you guys for listening. Again, Tampering coming soon. For Mo Dakil, I'm Dave DeFore, and this has been the Athletic NBA Show Eastern Conference Play-In Post-Game Show.